T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. After Halloween this year, don't throw your jack-o'-lantern in the garbage. Use it to start composting instead. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, fellow citizens, do you have a plan for how you're going to vote? You should. You can vote in person or by mail. Go to vote411.org to find out rules and deadlines for your state. We all have a voice and a vote to cast. Vote. Make it count. Go to vote411.org.
The new razor from Harry's is not the same. In the past, guys have been overcharged for razors. Meanwhile, Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever, and they're not raising prices, not even a little. Their new blades still cost as little as $2 each, and value isn't the only thing that makes Harry's unique. Some shaving companies add bells and whistles to their razors. Harry's values simple, clean design. Some shaving companies outsource blade manufacturing. Harry's owns a century-old German blade factory. Some shaving companies encourage guys to be the best. Harry's embraces guys for who they are. Put simply, Harry's is not the same. And you can find Harry's almost everywhere you shop. Just head to the grooming aisle in stores near you. Or you can go online and get a Harry's starter set for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5520 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5520. Harry's, not the same.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. To keep surfaces sanitized all day, use Microban 24. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of viruses and bacteria initially. Once dry, Microban 24 is effective for 24 hours on bacteria when used as directed. Microban 24 sanitizing spray, bathroom, and multi-surface cleaner.
If you're very quiet, you can hear it. The joy, the freedom, the crunch. From 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
My name is Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dole is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can. And I hope, even with Monday Night Football last night, you made a little bit of time for Major League Baseball, because if you did, you saw what I think I could argue is the best thing in postseason sports, which is a high-stakes, intense playoff baseball game. We got one last night between the Braves and Dodgers, and the star of the night is a local fella named Austin Riley. Solo shot in the top of the ninth to break a 1-1 tie, 448 feet, absolutely crushed it. So the Braves take a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers heading into Game 2, which is going to start in about an hour. Dodgers already had to scratch their starting pitcher, future Hall of Famer, three-time Cy Young Award winner Clayton Kershaw because of back spasm. So that's an interesting development. We'll talk baseball. More specifically, Austin Riley, DeSoto Central High graduate, momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Frank Schwab is going to join me. He covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. I'll ask him about Dak. I'll ask him about Justin Herbert. I'll ask him to preview tonight's Bills-Titans game on America's Most Watched Network, the Network of Stars. If you want to listen to it, it'll be right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Frank Schwab will be here right around 425. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them Sam Ayamide is a three-star prospect in the class of 2021. He's expected to announce his college decision tonight. He's expected to commit to Memphis a little after 6 o'clock. I'll tell you a little bit about him around 444. Some Memphis basketball scheduling news today. The home-and-home series with St. Louis is being pushed to next season. Just no room for it on a 27-game pandemic schedule. I'll tell you more about that a little later on this hour. Former Memphis Redbird Tommy Pham, now a member of the San Diego Padres, got stabbed in the back outside of a strip club. News was first reported late last night. He's apparently going to be okay, but still, scary stuff. I'll give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock in. Bad news for the Florida Gators. Just days after Dan Mullen, Florida's coach, said he'd like to put 90,000 people jam-packed in the swamp, Florida has had to shut down its football program.
Oh, no.
After 19 players reportedly tested positive. They might have got on a party bus down there after the loss to Texas A&M. I'll update you on that during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Clark is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I wanted to start with Major League Baseball because it's not every night, Bennett, that a local man is the star of the MLB playoffs. But such was the case last night thanks to DeSoto Central High graduate Austin Riley. Bennett, did you see it last night, or were you too wrapped up in the Drew Brees, Justin Herbert duel?
I was going back and forth, so I saw it. I was able to catch Austin Riley's bomb. That was awesome.
Dude.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So here's the deal. If anybody who wasn't watching or doesn't really care about baseball, just bear with me. It's 1-1 in the top of the ninth. This is game one NLCS Braves-Dodgers. Great series. And leading off, top nine for Atlanta is Austin Riley, who was born here in Memphis, then raised in DeSoto County, graduated from DeSoto Central High, which is right next door to Aiden and Ollie, available for all of your children's clothes needs. So he's in a two-strike count. It's a 1-2 hole for Austin Riley. Blake Treinen is on the mound for the Dodgers. And Will Smith, he's the Dodgers catcher. He wants what appears to want a fastball down. Instead, Blake Treinen left a 98-mile-per-hour fastball up. And this is what it sounded like.
Record in the major leagues at 43-17. That is hit deep into left center field. Back at the wall. It's gone. Austin Riley has put the Atlanta Braves on top here in the ninth with a home run off Blake Treinen. An absolute laser.
And it was an absolute laser. It was 448 feet, gives Atlanta a 2-1 lead. And just like that, Austin Riley, at 23 years and 193 days old, became the fourth youngest player in Major League Baseball playoff history to hit a go-ahead homer in the ninth inning or later. The other three on that list, the three people ahead of him, Jimmy Fox, who was 22 years, 349 days old, when he did it in the 1930 World Series. Tim McCarver, who was 22 years, 362 days old when he did it in the 1964 World Series. Chipper Jones, who was 23 years, 162 days old when he did it in the 1995 NLDS. And after that, now it's Austin Riley, 23 years, 193 days old in the 2020 NLCS. So two of the top four on that list are Memphis area products. Tim McCarver from Christian Brothers High, Austin Riley from DeSoto Central High. And after that, after Austin hit that bomb, Ozzie Albies also homered in the ninth for Atlanta. That gave the Braves a 5-1 lead. He is also, like Austin Riley, 23 years old. So the Braves became last night just the sixth team in Major League Baseball history to have two players, 23 or younger,
homer in the same postseason game. Atlanta ends up winning it 5-1, and it was just a reminder, at least for me, that postseason baseball, when it's good or great, is just about as good as it gets. Like, I swear, I think my favorite thing in sports is a high-stakes baseball game that's close late. I don't think anything gets more intense than that. Because in basketball or even football, like almost nothing that happens to you can be devastating. Like, oh, we just gave up a open three. Okay, well, let's just go make an open three. Oh, we just gave up a touchdown. Okay, well, they're about to kick it to us. Let's go score a touchdown. In baseball, when you are in a tight game late, a walk, an error, a 448-foot bomb, it could feel like the end for you. And it felt like the end for the Dodgers last night when Austin hit that shot. Now, obviously, the Braves tacked on three more, so then it really was over. But I don't think there's anything, and I recognize, I should acknowledge, I'm probably in the minority here, almost certainly in the minority here, but you give me a high-stakes baseball game that's tied in the seventh, that's as good as it gets for me. What's as good as it gets for you, Bennett?
Oh, I mean, a high-stakes NFL playoff game, like if it's within a score.
I figure that's what most people would say.
Yeah, yeah. If it's within a score and you got, you know, two big-time teams going back and forth, like I think that's pretty good in a playoff game. I do think NBA's probably third just because – it's similar to like what you said, like there's so much back and forth so fast, like they score, you got a chance immediately. Like it's
like
just,
even in a play, high stakes playoff NBA game, finals game, game five, mm-hmm. like even, okay, there's 4 minutes to go and we're tied. Okay.
Right.
We're in this thing. Now you're down seven. Well, like you're down seven. That's not great, but you can recover from that.
Yeah. I think that high stakes NBA games are, obviously, I would say that second-to-last Lakers Heat game was probably different, but for the most part, I think that it's like the last 2 minutes when it's super high stakes if it's a close game.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, obviously. I still think I would rank a great high-stakes baseball game above it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm adding other things to the list, like if a great high-stakes boxing match that's actually been a great back-and-forth boxing match and now you're in the eighth or ninth
yeah.
round— Like, I love that.
I think, actually, I'll be honest, a high-stakes NCAA tournament game.
Those are fun. But the problem with those is that the quality of basketball is often subpar to what we're used to.
Sure.
That somebody didn't go out there and win it incredibly as much as sometimes, like, just the other team just gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I,
sure.
Listen, I love those as well. Probably anything high stakes that's close and late is going to be great in
yeah,
sports if you care
right,
about the sport. Playoff hockey, I know people would argue in favor of as well. If you wanted to get real specific, like Tiger Woods tied for the lead in a major going into
that's
16,
yep.
like that's as good as it gets for me as well. That's a little more specific instead of just saying two guys tied for the lead going into 16 in a major, although that's great. Like, we had that in the PGA Championship this year when Morikawa hit that incredible tee shot. We drove the green. Like, we had, like, I thought that was great. So anything high stakes is great. But last night was just a reminder to me, for me, you know, we're 1-1 going into the ninth. And I was like, this is great. Like, if they do this for another five innings, I'll be here. Even though I'm not emotionally invested in either team, like I'm not a Dodgers fan or a Braves fan, I do root for Austin Riley because he's from here. But I was just invested in the game, in the competition, like the thin margins for error. And maybe that's what it is. The margins for error are so thin in a high-stakes baseball game that's late that it really does feel like any one mistake can be the end for you. And I'm not sure that's true in every sport that we discussed. Back to Austin Riley for a second for mm-hmm. some of those who might be unfamiliar, some background. He, like I said, went to DeSoto Central High School. He committed to Mississippi State and was headed there, but then he was selected 41st overall in the 2015 Major League Baseball draft, so he just skipped college sign with the Braves for $1.6 million. And then, of course, that same thing happened to Mississippi State this past year with Blaze Jordan committing to Mississippi State, like, I think years ago. And then, of course, the Red Sox select him, put a big guarantee signing bonus on the table. So Mississippi, that's two DeSoto Central studs who were supposed to go to Mississippi State who just skip out on college baseball, reasonably so, to go to the major, to go to professional baseball right out of high school. So Austin Riley ends up spending 2016, 17, and 18 in the minors. And then he got caught up last May of 2019, when Ender Inciarte was placed on the injured list. Like, he wasn't supposed to come up when he came up. There was no guarantee he was going to come up at all last season, except for maybe, you know, late season call-ups. But it was May, Inciarte goes on the injured list, so they call him up, and then his first game, he's in the starting lineup, it's against the Cardinals, and his second at bat, he homers off of Michael Wacha, and ended up being National League Rookie of the Month in the month of May, and he finished last season with 18 homers in 80 games. Now that's over, you know, like that's 36.45 homers per 162 games. That's a really great first season.
Mm-hmm.
This season, the home run per game rate was down a little. He hit 8 in 51 games, and that translates to 25.4 per 162. So again, 25.4 as compared to last year's 36.45, down a little bit, still good, just not as good. But man, he got one good last night, a historic awesome 448-foot bomb that put the Braves up 1-0 in this best of seven series. And I was talking to Jeff a little bit about it this morning. We consider ourselves a basketball city because I do think that's the most important sport in our city, and it's the sport we care most about, whether it's at the collegiate level with the Tigers, professional level with the Grizzlies, or even high school basketball, which registers in this community. So we're a basketball city. I concede the point.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we're really good at producing baseball talent as well. I went and, after I talked to Jeff this morning, looked it up, and I think we still have five Memphis area high school products who are in the major leagues, like right now. Logan Forsythe, Christian Brothers High School graduate, is with the Marlins. Drew Pomeranz, Cairo High graduate, is with the Padres. Cody Reed, Horn Lake High graduate, is with the Rays. Austin Riley, DeSoto Central with the Braves. Brent Rooker, ECS graduate with the Twins. Zach Cozart, who was from Cairo, was in the majors as recently as last season. So we've got a pretty good, and that's just like right now. That doesn't even include all of the Matt Cains and the Bill Selbys and the Dusty Hughes. And I mean, those are some guys I went to high school with. Like, that doesn't, I mean, I didn't go to high school with Matt Cain. I covered Matt Cain when I was at the Commercial Appeal, and he was, I guess, at Houston High. But like, Dusty Hughes is from Horn Lake, Bill Selby from Horn Lake. Like, we've had a lot of guys from here play in the major league. So yeah, we're a basketball city, but we produce baseball talent at a pretty high level as well. The Braves winning last night, they're now 6-0 in this postseason. They haven't lost.
That's crazy.
6-0 with four shutouts. And the Atlanta's ERA in this postseason, take a guess. Do you know? Take a guess. 0.93.
Jeez.
0.93 is the ERA through six games in this postseason. They are, unsurprisingly, if you know their ERA is zero, team ERA in the postseason is 0.93, you would assume that they're 6-0, and they are. Still, they are underdogs tonight. Game two set to start at 5:05. Ian Anderson is going to be on the mound for Atlanta. The Dodgers were supposed to start three-time Cy Young Award winner, future Hall of Famer Clayton Kershaw. He got scratched because of back spasms. So now they're going with Tony Gonsolin, who is good and had a really good season this season. And this Gonsolin-Ian Anderson matchup is like two guys that don't have a lot of big league starts under their belts. He's good, but he's not Kershaw. Like, the Dodgers opened in game two with Kershaw as the expected starter at minus 155. When Kershaw got scratched, it's now sitting at like minus 125, 130. So the Dodgers are still the favorite tonight, but they're not as significant a favorite as they were before Kershaw was scratched. And the other big thing about Kershaw being scratched here, I don't know if people who don't follow baseball realize this. It's a best of seven series, NLCS, best of seven series, ALCS. No off days.
Oh yeah, they're all just back to back to back. You're in the same place, right?
Like this is not travel. Like, yeah, but like even with the NBA Finals, they had off days. They play every other day for the most part. NLCS, because it was very important for Major League Baseball to get everything done by November 1st.
You're on schedule. Yeah.
They just decided to play every day. So game one is on Monday for the Braves Dodgers. Game two's today. Game three's tomorrow. Game four is Thursday. If you need game five, it's Friday. If you need game six, it's Saturday. If you need game seven, it's Sunday. There's no off days. Now, on paper, that set up as an advantage for the Dodgers because they got better pitching depth. But you lose with Walker Buehler. You used Dusty May last night. So when is he available again and to what extent? So you use two of your best pitchers in what amounts to a loss. Now you get Kershaw scratched in game two. And there's no guarantee you'll be able to go in game three. But the original schedule was Buehler goes game one, game six. Kershaw goes game two, goes seven, game seven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at best, Kershaw's not going to game three. Probably can't pitch again in the series. So what you thought you were going to have in a possible game seven is Kershaw. Now, unless you bring him back really early, and I don't think you can do that unless he gets knocked out early in game three, and if he gets knocked out early in game three, that ain't good for you.
Sure.
So if Kershaw gives you a quality start tomorrow, he's probably done. And if he doesn't pitch till game four, he's 100% done. And so this has messed up everything the Dodgers were planning to do in the NLCS. It doesn't mean that they are now the underdog in the series, but this thing certainly hasn't got off to a good start. They lose game one, even though Walker Buehler gives them a quality start, and then they got to scratch Clayton Kershaw in game two, pushing him back in a way that makes it unlikely he would be able to pitch in a game seven if a game seven is necessary. So just a fun night of baseball last night. And like I said, it's not every day that a local guy from the Memphis area is the star of a postseason baseball game, of a night of postseason baseball, but it was the case last night. Austin Riley hitting a 448 ninth inning homer to break a tie, give the Braves a win, and put himself in the history books in a real tangible way. Just an awesome moment. Couldn't be happier for him and for his family. I hope someday in free agency he signs with the Mets.
Good luck, GP.
I wouldn't wish that on him. He doesn't deserve that. His family doesn't deserve that. Frank Schwab covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. I'll talk to him about Dak, about last night's Monday Night Football game, and about tonight's Tuesday Night Football game, Titans Bills. Frank Schwab is going to join me next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Coming up Wednesday, we've got much more football to discuss with you. It's a battle of unbeaten division leaders in Music City, plus Key's real rankings and who can really contend for the next NBA title.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, weekday mornings 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. live on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's number one sports place.
I'm journalist Ben Ryder, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, The Edge. Last year, the Houston Astros were caught in a massive cheating scandal, putting the legitimacy of their 2017 World Series in doubt. I'm talking to people who were there to figure out what happened. Why did the most innovative organization in the history of sports push itself not just to the edge, but over it? Listen to The Edge on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Todd Thomas. I'm usually the first to tell you to make some noise at Busch Stadium, but today I'm inviting you to visit a few other places around St. Louis. Check out America's tallest monument, the Gateway Arch, and see the newly renovated museum below. Explore exotic marine life at the new St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station, or take the kids to the Magic House for a chance to learn through play. Just remember, wear your mask and stay 6 feet apart. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
The fall weather has hit. Football season is here, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that James Davis is helping celebrate with 20% off all fall merchandise until the end of October. Sports shirts, sweaters, active tops that are perfect for those cool nights while eating outside. It's all available at James Davis, as are new five-pocket brush cotton pants and tons of new denim. And don't forget about the Stant custom shirt and custom pants system. All it takes is three measurements and roughly a minute of your time, and you'll have custom-made shirts and pants ordered for you. They'll be ready before you know it. They'll fit you perfectly, just like mine fit me perfectly. And right now, you can get it done with 20% off the regular price. That's a deal that should not be passed up. And if you need a new suit, the greatest deal available is at James Davis. You can get two Paul Bettinelli suits for just $7.95. I own like six of them. You can get two right now for just $7.95. They're incredible deals through October 31st, only at James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
It's time to play Jackpot Justice. That's right. If you can't
this
make it
has
to
been
casino,
a presentation of Radio.com Sports, presented by Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
$40,000 from Mississippi trial lawyers, $20,000 from Democratic mega donors. Lynchard would risk bringing Jackpot Justice back to Mississippi. Fortunately, we have a conservative alternative, Mississippi Supreme Court Justice Josiah Coleman. He's a conservative and experienced judge, a fair-minded man who understands hard work. Coleman lives on a farm, has served as a volunteer firefighter, and bagged groceries and washed dishes to help pay for his education. When it comes to the Mississippi Supreme Court, reject Jackpot Justice. Vote conservative, vote Coleman. Justice Josiah Coleman for the Mississippi Supreme Court. Paid for by Improved Mississippi PAC. Derek Easley, Treasurer. Not approved by any candidate.
This pandemic has taken away many things. It's robbed us from our day-to-day, kept us from our work and play, and erased our views of regular, standard, and normal. But it's taught us a lot as well, including what and who matters most. That's why it's more important than ever to help protect your loved ones from the flu this season. Make a flu shot appointment for yourself and the people you care about most at Kroger.com/flu. At Kroger Health, we believe that your people are our people.
Hey everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night right, every single fight right. I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee just like Mike. Looking for a bright light, Seagull, what your life like. Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight fight. Pressing on a gas, supernova for a night light. Screaming at my dad and he told me it ain't Christ-like.
Mullen, Florida football coach, said over the weekend that he wanted to put 90,000 people inside the swamp for Florida's game against LSU. Now, and that sounded crazy when he said it, but now it sounds even crazier because the Gators reportedly have 19 players who have tested positive for COVID-19, and that suggests the game is in real jeopardy. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the NFL for Yahoo Sports. It's Frank Schwab. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Frank, it's Gary. How you been, man?
How you doing, GP? What's new?
Nothing really. I feel like we're sort of stuck in the same place we've been for about 6, 7, 8 months.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Tennessee Titans don't ruin the football season. That's what I expected to be spending my October.
It's tough down here in Tennessee. We haven't approached this whole COVID-19 thing sensibly in all parts of our state.
Yeah, well, Colorado's been okay. That's where I'm at. It's doing fine, and we're still, you know, not doing great like nobody is. So, hey, just hoping to get through this NFL season, and it's been touch and go for a lot. You know what? I wake up every morning, and I just the first thing I do is look at my phone to see what bad news there is. So who's got a new positive test? Who's, you know, which team has got three guys? Which game has been moved? It's just been I kind of expected it. But I also didn't expect it, in that this thing is just day by day.
It really is. Like, even on Sunday morning, the Titans had another positive. They had to shut down their facility on Sunday. But still, as of 4:28 Central Time, it appears that the Bills and Titans are going to play a game inside Nissan Stadium in Nashville that kicks off at 6 o'clock. Help me make sense of it. Both teams are undefeated. The Titans obviously haven't played in, I believe, 16 days. Let's start there. How much does not playing for 16 days hurt a professional football team?
It does. There's no question, especially one that's 3-0, felt good about itself. I mean, maybe if you're the Jets and you don't play for 16 days, you're kind of happy to get away from each other for a while. But I think that it's definitely, you know, I mean, I know momentum is a nebulous thing, and some people, you know, believe in it, some people don't. But I think there's something to be said about, you know, you haven't played in 16 days. I can't even remember. I know that the Titans won on a Gostkowski field goal because they've won every game on a Gostkowski field goal. That's about the only reason I remember even the last game the Titans played. So, but, you know, the Bills have dealt with this too. I mean, it's not normal for them to be traveling on a Tuesday, playing on a Tuesday. These guys are so, you know, stuck in their routines. They get in such a rhythm with the season that when you throw them off like this, when you know, it's just different. And I'm not sure, you know, which team is better equipped to adjust because, hey, this is brand new for all of us. I mean, Tuesday night football, I mean, it only happened once in our lifetime, so twice, the second time tonight. So we'll see. It's tough to basically handicap it because who knows how these teams are going to react.
What, you know, there's some thought in Major League Baseball that they use the pandemic to get a DH in the National League to expand the playoffs, and now they'll just never go back. Is there a scenario where the NFL sees real value in having another primetime game every week on Tuesday night, and we might start seeing Tuesday night football even after this pandemic's over?
No, I think it's one of those things where they've probably wrestled with this for years. It's not like they didn't know that Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, they don't want to set up a Friday because of high schools. They don't want to, you know, butt heads with college football because it's their free minor league. So Tuesday, Wednesday have always been free, though. But I think that they worry. I think that they're smart enough, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but they're smart enough to know that part of the reason they're this kind of runaway train of popularity is that it's basically one day a week. Like, you know, I mean, both of us college basketball guys. I love college basketball. You're right about it. It's every single day. It's a commitment. I mean, it is. You are, you know, I mean, there are games on every single day. And if you are baseball, NBA, whatever it is, it's a commitment. I mean, if you're watching me, the Milwaukee Brewers, I'm watching them basically every single day of my life if they're good. Whereas football, if you sit down on a Sunday, you spend 8-9 hours if you want. If you don't want to watch a Sunday night game at 6, and that's good, that's cool. You're off Sunday anyway. You feel like a big-time football fan, but now you start adding on Monday, and Tuesday, and Thursday. And I think that would kind of it would almost be oversaturation at that point. So I think they're smart enough to realize they have something good here. They don't want to screw that up too much. But, hey, it's the NFL. They draw in a huge rating tonight, and maybe some light bulbs turn on.
Talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Last night we had Monday Night Football, and it was Saints-Chargers. Saints win it 30-27. Drew Brees leads a comeback in the second half. Let's talk about both quarterbacks. Where are we on 41-year-old Drew Brees at this point?
You know, I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's 2015 Peyton Manning or anything like that, but I don't know. I love Drew. I think he's been a great, great player. He's a guy who I've touted for years before it was cool that he's a top 10 all-time quarterback. He checks every single box. Like, why would you pick Dan Marino over him? He's got the ring, and Dan does it, and everything else lines up for Drew that Dan has. So I hate to just trash him and say he can't play, but he's not the same guy. He's just not pushing the ball downfield. His offense is not the same. The Saints team, look, for the past few years when they've kind of had this thing rolling, a rookie quarterback wasn't coming into the Superdome on a 1-3 team and should have beat them last night if the field goal goes through at the end. It's just not the same Saints team. They're not as dominant. I don't see them as a Super Bowl contender right now. And a big part of that's just Brees has gone from being Drew Brees to being kind of just a guy. He's not a liability, but I don't think he's helping them much either. Now, maybe, you know, Michael Thomas comes back. Maybe it all changes. Hey, he's a heck of a player. He'd help any quarterback. But I have some issues, just some questions about Brees and where this thing is going. Brady kind of changed the game for everybody, and everybody thinks everybody's going to be Brady and be good at 43. And that's why the Colts game. Philip Rivers, 30 or $25 million at age 37. That's why Brees keeps playing. None of these guys are Brady. Brady's a freak, and the ball comes for everybody. And I think it's coming here for Drew Brees.
On the other side was Justin Herbert, who was 20 of 34, 264 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Obviously, ends with a loss, so the Chargers go from 1-3 to 1-4. But people at least based on what I read on Twitter, people are really excited about Justin Herbert. Does he look the part to you?
Oh, absolutely. And I was wrong. I was really skeptical. I thought he was just kind of the next, you know, he looks the part and can't play. The one time I really got to see him, like, sit down and watch every single play was when they played my Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. And I came away saying, this, really? This guy's tough and pick? I don't know. Like, he ran for a couple touchdowns when the defense broke down, but I wasn't impressed. But, man, everything he does is just, it's shocking. And you know what? It's shocking to me that Anthony Lynn didn't start this guy week one. Like, nothing against Tyrod Taylor, but how do you watch those guys through a training camp and say, yep, Tyrod's the guy? I'm not going to go with Justin. Tyrod needs to start. So I think he's, you know, we're only a few games into this thing, and I hate to overreact, but there's no reason for me to believe he won't be a good quarterback. He does everything well. He played really, really well yesterday, I thought. They should have won that game. They should have won. If the kick goes in or they win the coin toss in overtime or whatever it is, they might win that game. I'm really impressed. I was wrong. I thought he would just be, you know, mediocre, whatever. No, I think he could be a legitimate, you know, a franchise quarterback.
Are the Saints going to start playing home games in Baton Rouge? There is some suggestion that that's at least on the table right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're pushing for this thing, and they're, you know, I just don't know. I mean, this is so it's hard for me to predict anything because so much of this is just weird to me. Like, it's, you know, people ask me all the time about this and that, and it's like, I don't know. We've never dealt with any of this kind of stuff. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, if they think that that's going to, you know, open some things up as far as fans in the stands, you know, it's revenue. I can't see a team turning it down, but, you know, it's not something comfortable for the players either. They don't necessarily want to go play what amounts to a road game, a semi-road game. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting to track that, though.
I'm talking to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. He's on Twitter, at Yahoo Schwab. Obviously, the big story from Sunday was Dak Prescott, a broken ankle, bad injury, expected to be sidelined 4 to 6 months. He was obviously on the franchise tag this year. I think the franchise tag next year is $37.7 million. How is Dallas going to approach this situation? How does Dak approach this situation?
Yeah, and I mean, it stinks. The first thing I think is it stinks because, you know, everybody now is saying Dak should have taken a deal, Dak should have taken the deal. But NFL teams have kind of had this almost ghoulish leverage over guys of, you better take this because your career can end tomorrow. And I hate to see that. I hate to see that Dak, everybody's second-guessing him for not taking the money. Well, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be that way for these guys, but it is. And now everybody's kind of in flux. 4 to 6 months seems really, really aggressive to me. I mean, we all saw that injury. Yeah. If you're watching the game, that doesn't look like a 4 to 6 month injury to me. It looked like a, boy, if he's back in a year, I think he'd be happy. And, you know, how can any team be sure when, if it's the Cowboys paying $37.7 on a franchise tag, or it's the Jets who want to go and sign him to a 5-year deal, how could you be 100% sure that he's the same guy? You're not going to know. It's going to be March. It's going to be 5 months after the injury. I don't know. I don't know how this plays out. I do know that somebody would pay him. Like, if he does all, if the Cowboys just say, nah, we're done, we just don't trust your recovery, some team would pay him. Quarterback, there are some teams that really, really are desperate at quarterback. Again, the Indianapolis Colts paid Phil Rivers $25 million for 1 year. So somebody would pay Dak, but I don't know how much. I don't know what the contract would look like. I don't know if the Cowboys are ready to let go. This is one of those weird, and I mean, it's almost unprecedented of a guy with this kind of an injury. Do you give him another franchise tag? I just don't know, man. It is a really, really big gamble that Dak is going to come back and be the same guy.
I'd be really scared to give him a long-term deal. Like, first off, like, he probably wouldn't accept what I'd be comfortable giving him, and because he's going to bet on himself again, and I wouldn't be comfortable giving him anything close to what he would accept, given that I don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back from this. There's, you know, a lot of smart people and doctors saying that he can come back and be everything he was, but I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not necessarily doubting it, but I'd like to see it before, you know, I throw hundreds of millions of dollars his direction. So, again, I'm guessing from a place of ignorance on some level, but I do read a lot, and it seems like the most likely scenario is that they do take a big gulp, franchise him for 37.7, and then see what he is.
And I don't think that's bad for Dak, because that gives him a $37.7 million, right, which ain't bad, but it gives him a year on the field to say, hey, I'm back. You know, the Cowboys can't give him a third one because that would be just egregious. They just can't. I mean, it would be so much under cap. So basically, it would be like a one-year prove-it deal for a ton of money. I don't think that's the worst thing for Dak if the Cowboys do give him the franchise tag. He can kind of prove he's back and healthy again.
Wrap it up here with Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Before I let you go, let's circle back to tonight's Tuesday night game, Bills-Titans. Do you have a prediction?
Oh, I love the Bills. I've been on this Bills bandwagon all offseason. I've kind of put my flag in the ground, I guess you could say. I think the Bills come out. Let's not forget the Titans are missing some key guys. They got, what, 8 guys on the COVID list? Not that there's anybody who – it's not Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill, but, you know, you start to cut into the depth like that. I like the Bills as a team. I think the Titans, who haven't covered the spread yet, by the way, are a little bit overvalued, and I like the Bills. I think home field advantage has been almost eliminated. Yeah, give me the Bills. I feel pretty good about that. I think they're a legit football team, especially Josh Allen playing like he is.
That is Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Make sure you're reading him at Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. You're always terrific, man. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Gary. Hey, write good things about the Badgers basketball team, all right?
I can't wait. I'll do it for you. I'll see you.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye. That's Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Ben, did you hear that? Say he loves the Bills.
I did. Now, we did just get some news that Tre'Davious White, the star cornerback for the Buffalo Bills, is inactive tonight, which is a big deal for the Titans because we're missing, like, all of our receivers. But we did get A.J. Brown back tonight, so that's going to be interesting to see if he can get into midseason form this evening without Tre'Davious White on him.
I know from listening to Jeff this morning, he thinks the Bills are going to lose. That means he believes the Titans are going to win. Do you believe the Titans are going to win? Are you confident? Would you bet your paycheck on the Titans tonight?
No, I wouldn't. And the reason being is because they've been off for so long. And I just think in the NFL that matters, not being able to practice and get ready for an opponent. The Bills are probably really anxious to play this game. They've been off, and it wasn't in their control. So I really think they're going to come out firing tonight.
Bennett,
we're missing some key defensive pieces, too, like he said.
We're not just going to ignore the fact that the Titans kept practicing.
That's true. They did.
They weren't supposed to practice, but they just said to hell with it. We're going to do it.
They did.
We'll go to Montgomery. Where were they? Montgomery Bell Academy.
They were. Yeah, but they were split up into different units. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not super confident. But I will say, if it's an ugly game, I like the Titans.
Listen, professional football is not college football, but this is true. We have seen what happens to teams that are out of action for a longer than normal time because of COVID-19, most notably here in Memphis with the University of Memphis. And clearly it took Memphis a little while to get going.
No question.
There was, I can't remember who I was talking to, a college football reporter last week, Brett McMurphy. And he mentioned like Memphis clearly was off after the layoff and somebody else. He said there was another example of somebody who was off and it looked like a team that hadn't played in a while. So that's a variable that could come into play tonight. You know, the Titans haven't played in 16 days.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it'll be a non-factor, but there is some evidence at the collegiate level that suggests that it could be a factor. Again, kickoff there a little after 6 o'clock. It's on CBS Network of Stars, America's Most Watched Network. You'll be able to listen to it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. When we come back, bad news at the University of Florida. Just days after Dan Mullen said that he wanted to put 90,000 people in the swamp, Florida had to shut down its football program today because of a reported 19 positive tests. That's a big number. That's not like we've got 6 and then contact tracing got us to 19. The report is 19 positive COVID-19 tests. They've had to be in contact with Texas A&M to allow them to contact trace, be in contact with LSU to let them know we might not be playing football this weekend. I'll get you updated on that story next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Brad Carson for my friends at Old Dominic, a proud hometown partner of our Memphis Tigers, located in the heart of downtown Memphis with a 150-year-old story that's been revived and ready to be shared. And you can get all the info at olddominic.com on the one-of-a-kind spirits made right here in the Bluff City. Ask your favorite spirit shop where you can find Old Dominic products, enjoy them during the game. And you can also follow Old Dominic Distillery on Facebook and Instagram for more news and info, like the brand-new Hewling Station whiskey
whiskey there. It hits the shelves just in time for football season and cooler weather. These small batch whiskeys are perfect for the seasoned whiskey drinker. Whiskey newcomers will love them too. You can enjoy them neat over ice or in an old-fashioned whiskey cocktail. Set the bar with Hewling Station from Old Dominic this football season. Plus, try Old Dominic's Memphis Vodka, the Formula No. 10 Gin, and their Memphis Toddy, which is perfect for football weather. Just like the Tigers, Old Dominic spirits are 100% pure Memphis. That's Old Dominic Distillery and Old Dominic Spirits, 100% pure Memphis. Share a sip from your hometown brand this football season, and go Tigers go. Old Dominic encourages all fans to share a sip responsibly.
Hey Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early. No deposit required. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They've got odds on all the biggest sports in a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for, then lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But right now, the right thing for you to do is to download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out their fantastic app for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using promo code Connor so they know we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. That's promo code Connor to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is now withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For gambling problem support, call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who have lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year, and there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
If you thought cooking meant having to stay in the kitchen the entire time, think again. Because Lowe's has Samsung slide-in ranges with Wi-Fi that let you connect via your smartphone using the SmartThings app. Preheat and adjust cook times and temperatures on your oven, and even monitor your cooktop from anywhere, so you can spend time doing things like relaxing on your patio and keep an eye on dinner at the same time. Bring home innovation this fall with Lowe's. Preheat applies to electric models only. Available on Android and iOS devices. Wi-Fi connection and a Samsung encounter required. U.S. only.
Tracy needed to sell her home out in Cordova, but we're in the middle of a pandemic, so she didn't really want folks just coming in and out of her home nonstop. So she called Josh Heisaw. She knew he could market her home virtually. He did. Found a buyer in less than 2 days. Nobody physically ever visited Tracy's home. That's just one of the latest success stories connected to Josh Heisaw. He has the 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. Josh is able to do this because he's experienced, effective, someone who can expose your home to the most buyers with the best marketing strategy. Then he knows how to negotiate for the most money possible. But the first step is, Josh, just helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive. Once you guys agree on a price, that's when Josh goes to work. And then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. He can even make you an instant cash offer. It's your pick. Totally up to you. And understand, it's a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, you can fire him. No questions asked. He has flexible fees. There are no upfront costs. So if you're trying to sell a home, call the only real estate agent I'd call if I needed to sell my home. It's Josh Heisaw, 461-8147. He's on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God. The God killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and robbed. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Just days after Florida coach Dan Mullen defiantly said he wanted to pack the swamp for Saturday's game against LSU, Florida has now had to shut down its football program and all team activities after an increase in positive tests within the football program. That's according to the University of Florida. A media outlet in Florida is reporting that the football team has 19 positive COVID-19 tests. That's a lot, Bennett.
That's a whole lot.
That's a whole lot. That's the kind of number that makes it very difficult to play a football game later on this weekend. Florida has said that they've already talked to Texas A&M to let them know, here's what we're dealing with. Obviously, we were just tackling you a few days ago, so you know you probably need to pay attention to that. And then they've made LSU aware of the situation because it's possible LSU will not be traveling to Florida this weekend. This would be a big headline no matter what. It's a SEC team, a prominent program, having to shut down team activities in the middle of a season in a way that likely leads to this game being postponed. But it's especially a big headline because of the Dan Mullen comments from the weekend. He was so frustrated, it appeared, by Texas A&M putting what looked like too many people in that football stadium and creating a real home field advantage, the 12th man, if you will, that he was like, if they're going to have that, we should have that because our governor, Ron DeSantis, has said we can reopen the state and we can have football attendance at full capacity. And Dan took a lot of criticism for that because it's undeniably irresponsible. Like, you can't find any health official who, like, literally no reputable health official who would say it makes sense right now in the middle of a pandemic to put 88,000 people into the swamp. I mean, President Trump held a rally in Florida last night. And again, reputable health officials are saying that's ridiculous. You know, like at this point, it is what it is. Like, he's going to do what he wants to do.
Sure.
But like, even, like, I talked to Jeff about it this morning. Like, when I drive home, I flip back and forth between CNN radio and Fox News radio because I want to hear both sides of it, how they're presenting the stories. And even on Fox News, like one of the guys was like, this is crazy. You know? Like if you don't have a consensus on Fox News, like you're probably doing something crazy, right? So the idea that you put 88,000 people in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium this weekend in the middle of a pandemic is just crazy. I don't care what just because the governor says it's okay doesn't mean it's smart. It just means your governor's not smart. That's all it means.
Right.
Like, my wife and I have talked about this with her store. It's in South Haven. Well, Mississippi, DeSoto County, they don't have a mask mandate anymore. You could walk into McDonald's with no mask on. Nobody cares. My wife's store still has a mask mandate. And the argument that the people who don't have a mask mandate anymore, the argument that they make is, well, the local officials have said it's okay. That don't mean it's smart. It just means your local officials are dumb. It just means that the people in charge of the place where you operate a business are ridiculous. They don't believe in science. They trust the wrong things. Just because they say it's okay doesn't mean it's smart. Just because the governor of Florida says it's okay to put 88,000 people into a football stadium doesn't mean it's smart. So when Dan Mullen said that, he got real pushback. And now, just a few days later, he's got to shut down his whole football program. Here's a quote from him just yesterday. Dan Mullen was asked about, do you want to reconsider what you said on Saturday about putting 88,000 people in the swamp? And he said, listen, I just think we're a model of safety of what we've been doing during this time period. So I'm really proud of how we've handled everything and how safe we've been with everything we're doing and all the precautions we've had in place during this time. He said that yesterday. Today,
not so much.
Reportedly 19 positive COVID-19 tests. That means that Florida's game with LSU is very much in jeopardy.
Story number two.
The University of Memphis is expected to add another prospect here in about an hour. Sam Ayamide, who's a three-star prospect in the class of 2021, is expected to announce his college decision a little after 6 o'clock Central, and he is expected to pick the University of Memphis. He's ranked 138th in the class of 2021. He's a 6'11 center who is a top 30 center in the class of 2021. And so, like, here's the truth. I'm not going to try to tell you I know much about him because I haven't seen him with my own eyes, as far as I know. Under normal circumstances, I would have spent the summer at Peach Jam I would have seen some of these guys. We didn't get that opportunity this summer. And honestly, guys outside of the top 100, unless they are Memphis guys, I'm not going to be familiar with them. Mm-hmm. When I go to these things, I am there to see the guys who are going to have immediate impacts at the collegiate level, high major level. So this summer, it would have been guys like Patrick Baldwin and Paolo Banchero and A.J. Griffin and J.D. Davison. It would not be somebody ranked outside of the top 100. So I don't really have any – I could fake it if you want me to. I've heard other people do it, but I'm not interested in that. He's a top 150 prospect in the class of 2021. Assuming he commits, he will be the fourth player – in the class of 2021 to commit to the University of Memphis, the others being Josh Minot, Jordan Nesbitt, and John Camden. So it'll be a four-player class that is ranked 11th nationally right now, according to 24/7 Sports. And according to their formula, based on what my little buddy John Martin said, the class will at some point tonight move into the top three. And okay. So let me start by saying this. That's great. It's recruiting outside of the Power Five with an NCAA cloud above your head, down one assistant coach, to be sitting here on the night of October 13th with a class that is going to rank third in the country is excellent. Anybody complaining about it has totally forgotten where this program was the day Penny Hardaway was fired. I mean, hired. Tubby Smith was fired. Penny Hardaway was hired. Tubby Smith was here 2 years, could not enroll any top 100 prospects, none. Couldn't win games, couldn't sniff the NIT, couldn't put people inside FedEx Forum. Penny has flipped all of that stuff immediately. So this class is not the 2019 class that was ranked number one in the country, but it is still going to be a quality class with at least two top 75 prospects in it. So I hope that's clear. That said, it's not the third best class in America. The one issue I have with 24/7 Sports formula is that it seems to value quantity over quality. Like, the more players you have, the better. This is why when the previous Memphis staff used to brag in that heading into their second year that they were enrolling the number one recruiting class in the AAC. People be like, what do you mean Tubby can't recruit? They got the number one class in the AAC. What did I say consistently? Class stinks. It's got no good players. Just got a bunch of players. Like, none of these guys are any good. It's got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They're not good. So, like, the formula rates it well relative to other AAC schools. But honestly, like, you shouldn't really, at the University of Memphis, be comparing yourself to other AAC schools outside of maybe Connecticut when Connecticut was in the league. So really, like, being the best in the AAC, like, you should be aiming higher than that if you're Memphis. But either way, that class was garbage. Number one class in the American. Garbage. It just had a bunch of guys, so it added up to make it the number one class in the American. Garbage. No good players. This class does have good players. But does it have a great player? I don't know. Like, there's not a James Wiseman in this class, obviously. There's not a Precious Achiuwa in this class. There might not even be a DJ Jeffries or a Boogie Ellis in this class. And so it is to be celebrated if you're a Memphis fan. it's the type of class that you can win with down the road that will provide depth initially, and then hopefully some of these guys develop into reliable top-of-your-roster guys moving forward. And then you can add a five-star here, five-star there, and that's how you build the balance of experience and talent and try to march this thing deep into the bracket. But the formula at 24/7, like, what would you rather have? Six guys ranked between 50 and 150 or two top 10 players?
Two top 10.
Give me two top 10 players. Yeah. But the way that formula works, the six guys between 50 and 150 might be a better class, according to 24/7 Sports, than the class with just two top 10 players. Give me the two top 10 players.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say I do like the idea of them having guys that are going to be with the program multiple years. I still think you need to go out and get those top 10 players, you know, again, eventually. But I think it will be beneficial for them to have guys that are going to be upperclassmen eventually.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
That play meaningful minutes
this,
on your team.
This young man tonight is ranked about where Sadiq Bey was ranked coming out of high school. Sadiq Bey was Villanova's best player as a sophomore, and he's now going to be a lottery pick. Like, there's nothing oh, he's a sub-100 player. Yeah, but, like, these guys do turn into something sometimes.
Yeah.
And either way, they are almost never one-and-done guys. So, in theory, if you can develop them, get them in your program, they'll be there a little longer. Experience does matter. Talent's the most important thing in college basketball. Mm-hmm. But having the best teams are usually teams that have a nice blend of talent, high-end NBA talent, and experience, juniors and seniors, or at the very least, sophomores and juniors. And that's the type of thing this class could theoretically provide, that when they are sophomores and juniors, maybe even seniors, they provide the experience to go with your top-end talent.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.